smooth? Was it a smooth grab?
Yeah, like, did you,
like, did it hit
you?
Your Bro, head at all?
Bro. It was so smooth. I was not hurt at all. I did not feel physically.
His first time.
Yeah.
Not damn. His first time.
And I'm going to say something. It might have been a her. I think it was like
okay,
body
icon, legend.
Kind of hot. Like yeah, either
this has changed the story completely.
Yeah, she's on like a little ninja motorcycle.
I'm on her side. Yeah.
Full leather outfit. I love her.
I think that it was a girly pop.
She's like Catwoman or something.
Yes.
Truly. She did a backflip.
Yes.
On the bike.
I say this now. One time I did go on a Vespa with a guy I loved. So maybe it was a...
And by a Vespa, you do mean a Revel.
A Revel.
Damn. We tell ourselves stories when we're
little. Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the boys club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings. Fucking ready, baby.
Hey, Con. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm admiring your Christmas tree.
My Christmas tree tis the season. It was $60. It is 3 feet tall, but what are you going to do with these city prices?
No, but what I'm impressed with is that, like, that is a real tree that will live and die.
As all of us will. I know, like, we still need to put some lights on it. We need to put some bulbs on it, but it does look nice.
I've never had, I've only ever had full. Those like ones that you kind of just like throw into the closet at the end of
yeah.
the season.
Yeah, which, I mean, sustainable in its own, right?
Yes, I got it from Michael's Crafts when I lived in Chicago.
That's fun. Did you see any boys clubs this week?
Yeah, the circus, but not just the circus. I'm going to okay, my boys club is pop-up experiences where people might die, but no one ever has. I'm talking circus. I'm talking the carnival at your local church, St. Dennis Fair to be specific.
Wait, did they do a carnival at your local church?
Yes, they did. Well, it wasn't even mine. We traveled to it, and it was. But everyone did. It was the St. Dennis Fair, and I was always like, this is really unsafe, but no one that I know of ever died at it, and I feel like we would know if it was a real threat.
I know. Every time there's like a pop-up thing that has rides, it's always like, where do they keep these? Then you
How
see them
you
driving away on the highway. And it's
this
like,
must have been the kind of thing where you broke it down
yeah.
and then built it back.
And it's like every time you build it back, there's a chance that it's not going to be right.
And then the Gravitron where they like shut you in. With Do you know what that is?
Is that when they spin you around really fast?
Yeah. Yeah, they like shut you in with all of your classmates that have come to the same fair and
yeah.
not your parents. And then they just like spin. It's gross.
I saw a video the other day of this like one of those like spinny something or other. I don't know. Something like open air spinning ride. And this guy who was on it was like, everybody's just like hanging to the sides and like letting the centripetal force like take you or whatever. And this guy like does like a flip and like the ride moves and he lands perfectly. And it's like, the risk is just, it's too.
Once you said centripetal force, I was like, that's all I can think about is whatever that is, where you learned it, why you said it.
Physics. I don't know. I don't actually know what it means other than I think it just like is what keeps you from coming out of the ride.
Yes, and it was crazy to like go, and because it's like kind of a social clout kind of thing, but you're going like with your dad and you're like, yeah, I'm here with my dad
yeah.
and like, and that they're there with their dad, and then eventually people would go with their like significant others, like sixth seventh grade, but I never did.
Yeah. Well, the reason this came up is because there's a
circus
down the street now.
There's a circus
by McCarran Park.
I don't know what's inside. I don't know.
I don't either, but it's a huge circus tent, and it's I've never seen anything. Usually they just have pickleball there, and those people are going to be furious.
Well, I love that field because I feel like it's the most alone you can be in New York.
That gravel area?
Like, well, I was walking by it, and I really wanted to walk into the middle of it. If I was, like, doing worse emotionally, I would have. It was, like, nighttime, and it was kind of cold. I wanted to walk to the middle and be like, ah! Like, if it was
yeah.
a movie, that's what it would have been.
Lay on the glass that's out there.
Yeah, because it's like, the only time you're actually fucking alone
yeah.
in this town, in this damn town.
Fair enough. Well, are you going to go to the circus?
Okay, I thought we were going to go to the circus. So.
Oh, are we going?
I don't know. I wrote in a giant group chat of people.
And said,
and if you weren't in it, then I'm sorry. But a giant group chat about something else. We were talking something else. And I said, who wants to go to the circus? And Isa said yes. The problem when you write in a group chat, I'm getting in trouble for this, is that like sometimes you're like, oh, we're all going to go. And then if like only two people want to go, you're like, oh, I don't really want to go. They're like, I'm pulling back.
You're like, you don't want to go anymore because everybody doesn't want to go.
Yeah. Like last night I was excited because like everyone was going to go to see the tree at Rockefeller Center. And I was like, oh, this is incredible. I don't have a family, but I still have someone to go see the tree with. And then like no one went. And it was like, okay, so now I'm going to a dispensary with half of the group, a fissured part of the group, which I didn't even want to go to.
And you don't even go. You don't even partake.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought I was getting out of that community. I thought I was getting community.
Did you like it?
No.
What, we went to a dispensary one time.
Did I? What? When?
in LA.
Oh, that was cool.
We were killing time.
MedMen.
Yeah.
Okay, that I love because they, that, well, that I would get like CBD chocolates. The first time I went there, I got CBD chocolates and I was like, is this a relapse? And then I would just like take it and like kind of wait to feel anything. And it like never really kicked in. But MedMen, I like, it's like the Sephora for drugs.
It is a Sephora for drugs.
But that dispensary was like not bad.
Or like an Apple store. Wait, I'm going to do my voice club.
What's your, did you see any voice clubs?
My voice club for this week is house shoes. I have mine on right now.
Yeah.
So my house shoes of choice are camouflage Crocs. I haven't had Crocs since I was a little kid. I was rocking Crocs all the time as a child. Growing up in the South, it's always hot and there's lots of water, terrain. You know, you're kind of always changing terrains as a kid in those areas, so the Crocs were great for that kind of multi-purpose with the strap and everything. But what I love about, I feel like obviously like you don't want to have shoes from outside. I think you don't want shoes from outside in your house because especially in New York, it's just, we talk about this all the time, you could step in anything.
We talk about it all the time because we're doing it all the time.
We could, because we're always stepping in who knows what. Like you just don't know what's on the ground out there. You really,
I avoided shit today.
Yeah, especially in Brooklyn, you're like dodge, it's like hopscotch. But anyway, so I love my house shoes, and now when I walk around barefoot, I feel like
naked,
unsupported. So I'm loving this. I'm loving my house shoes. I also feel like, it's like something that I knew people did that like I wasn't doing before. And I feel like I've unlocked something and I understand people more now.
Okay. So I grew up in a house where we were allowed to wear shoes in the house because we had no decorum, and it's Philadelphia.
And because your dad was a stay-at-home dad.
And my dad was a stay-at-home dad. What if he was a stay-at-home dad? He was like, yeah, he ran a business out of our basement. Like, because that person technically was a stay-at-home dad too. But he didn't. He didn't run anything.
The business was having three gay sons.
Yes. Yeah. More influential than any business that we have today. So, but not profitable. And we were like a shoe-on house.
Not profitable yet.
Right.
Not profitable yet.
We were very much a shoe-on house. And it wasn't until I moved to the city that I met people, you actually, no, other people, I guess, too. Maddie's like this, where people like leave their shoes at the door, which every time I do, I think of the Sex in the City episode where she gets her shoes stolen.
Yes.
That happened.
I've seen that episode.
Actually, I went to a party at your house like a week ago, brag, and I wore bad shoes because I was like, oh, I'm not going to wear nice shoes because like we're going to have to leave our shoes outside. And then I got here and everyone was just walking everywhere with their shoes on. I took mine off.
I will say, I think when you host people at your home, especially large numbers of people at your home,
I like wore matching socks. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
I like prepared.
I appreciate that you knew. But most people have never been here before. And I was just like, it would be more of a nightmare to have a bunch of shoes outside of the apartment and people. Because yeah. I've been to apartment parties where you show up and there's more shoes than you've ever seen. You're like, this is not what we should do.
Okay.
But I was just like committing to cleaning the next day.
Okay. And then but I do think the one change that I've experienced in New York is that now my home, my estate, my mansion where my children are raised, where I breastfeed my babies, it'll be shoe off. It's going to be shoe off.
Yeah.
I'm not doing shoe on. I step in shit all the time.
Yeah. Step in it, sit in it.
It's mostly sit in it. After the lesbian march, I sat in feces.
In Washington Square Park.
What kind of feces? The thing with feces is you don't know. That's actually beautiful. It's like every feces looks the same.
Everybody's shit, just different sizes, but it could be presumably anybody's.
But sometimes those girlies at Solid Gore don't flush the toilet. I'm actually here to say not every feces looks the same.
Oh.
I know. Goodness. I know. The last thing I'm going to say is that he did mention that his shoes were camo, and I know before we had a fight about whether camo is appropriate or not.
We have had that
I fight. Lost that fight. I think that I'm right about men in their phones at the gym. Like in the locker room, okay. I was right about that one.
Okay,
because I saw Jake Tapper in a towel.
But okay, again, the okay for our guests,
it was good.
And any boys at home who are tuning in for the first time,
it was really good.
The argument was that you think people should not have their phones in the locker room at the gym because you're afraid that somebody's going to take a naked picture of you
of my dick.
Yes, totally.
Or worse,
hear that
hole. What have you dropped?
Or worse hole. Totally hear that.
I
also
can't
think
get those back
most
ones on the internet.
People are not doing that.
I agree that most people are, but here's the thing, it only takes one, okay? Like, the thing with a hole is that
think we have to trust that people won't.
Yeah, you know who I trust? The cis gay man at Equinox. I really trust those people.
And I understand it's not a trustworthy community all the time. I understand, yeah. I understand.
But camo, I think, is amazing, and I think it's cool, and
okay,
I actually
I'm
think
glad
it's kind of,
around.
I think it's actually deference, respect to our veterans, to when you wear camo. It's
well,
nice.
This is not the camo that they're wearing overseas.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, anyway, let's bring our guest in.
Yes.
Boys, our guest this week is up here in the podcast space, an amazing comedian. You
We're
probably co-workers. Know him. You probably know him from his incredible podcast, Stradio Lab. You've seen him do stand-up all over the city. He's an amazing comedian. We're so lucky to have him. Please welcome Sam Taggart.
Wow. Hello.
Thanks for being here.
you covered so much. I was like, I want to speak.
This is feedback.
No. It's good. It was just, I was like, wait, I should have brought a notebook. This is happening to me more where someone will be telling me something that's very important, but they'll tell it to me very casually. And I'm like, no. Wait till I have a notebook.
I wanted to bring up Taylor Swift when you said that. And I just like, are you a Swiftie?
No.
Then I'm not bringing it up. I'm saving it for our next guest. Because her new song is like very, like, the lyrics are like an absolute emotional 10 that she delivers at like an emotional 4. And it's like, if you're not listening to the words, you'd like wouldn't think anything of it. But if you are listening to the words, you're like, oh my God. Like, you have to like pull over.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of her vibe. People think she's just a blonde girl who sings, but there's more there. There's more there.
That's the last time we're going to mention it because we're trying to be less of a Swift podcast.
Are you both Swifties?
No.
Wait.
Well, I like her. You've brought me in.
I'm not a Swiftie because I don't care about her personal life. I care about her art, but not her personal
life. But aren't they intertwined? Can you separate the art from the artist?
Oh, that's hard.
I don't care about I don't care about who she's dating or any of that stuff. I like her music. And we went to the Eras Tour movie, and that was fun.
The word movie?
Okay. I know.
For a second, I was like, we did?
Well, yeah, I was like, oh, rich.
I wish.
No, we're poor. The thing with this podcast is this is a poor podcast.
Love that.
We're not on video because we're ugly. You know what I mean? Because we're poor.
We don't have the camera equipment. Do you have any thoughts on the phone at the gym?
I love camo one. I want to say I'm pro camo.
I know I lose that one every time. I should like not even bring it up.
It's so in right now.
As an LGBTQ+ creator in Brooklyn.
I know. I feel like it's anti, like, I hate when gay men are like, I hate lesbians. And I feel like the closest I get to being like, I hate lesbians, when I'm like, I don't like camo. I feel like that's where, and I don't want to
step on their toes for sure.
No, I'm addicted to camo. Men on phones at the gym. I have sort of a live and let live mentality. Like, I'm like, you know, like if someone even worst case scenario, someone takes a picture of me fully nude, uploads it to the internet, and I say, go off. I was like, if it gets clicks, then good.
You know, it's like, it's an honor to be chosen.
I just feel like my naked body is a fluid situation. Like, I'm doing squats now, and like, I know that my butt will look different in a year.
But if it doesn't look up to snuff right now, then guess what? You're not going to go viral. Then you will go viral for having a great butt. It's going to be perfect. Yeah. It's win-win, I find.
Yeah. Okay. And not to put you on blast, but there is nothing harder in this world than your butt cheeks. When you clench and I've hit them, I'm I've felt plenty hard butts.
Sometimes I feel stressed about maintaining that.
Yeah, that must be a lot of pressure.
I know. If I don't break my hand curtsies. Next time I smack your butt, we're going to have to talk.
That's the curtsies. You've got to be doing curtsies with kettlebells.
Yeah, three gay brothers. I mean, you got to keep up.
Yeah.
I know. We're like kind of different flavors of gay.
Yeah, that happens. My boyfriend has two gay brothers, and so it's sort of a similar
thing. Boyfriend. We're going to think about it for the rest of the time. Okay. Wait, your boyfriend is... Are those the only siblings?
No, there's a sister who's straight.
See, that's cool. You need one.
That's so different. That's not so different.
No, but I think having any straight spice in there, it's kind of like, here's our connection to the outside world. Whereas ours is a little on an island.
Yeah, the only connection you have are your parents, who are the straightest people you've ever seen in your life. Somehow the two of them created three gay out of nothing, almost. Like,
I know.
Where it came from, nobody knows.
Yeah, my boyfriend's parents are like alt, so it makes sense. Yeah. It's like he did this on purpose. Yeah.
Where is he from?
He's from upstate. But like, they're all in the sense that they both come from big families, but they were like the outsiders. Like, they were like the ones that cared about art and were like musicians.
Yeah. Were your parents like that?
My parents were not like that.
What if you said the dark? Anytime I ask someone about their parents, I'm like, what if you're like, no, they're dead. They're dead under a ditch.
Well, they still would have had a life. You know what I mean? Yeah, there would have been an answer.
Yeah.
Wait, so what were your parents like?
They're still alive, first and foremost. And I'd say they're like Midwestern, nice people. Like, my mom is like quirky in that she's like, she's a fitness instructor. She owns like a boutique little like group fitness gym.
Oh, that's cool.
Wait, what do they do there? Bar?
They do bar. They do yoga. They do like HIIT.
Where is it?
It's in St. Joseph, Michigan, which is Southwest Michigan. It's near Lake Michigan.
Do you take her class?
Sometimes. I don't necessarily enjoy being in that setting because she kind of plays a character.
For sure.
Of like fitness instructor.
Is she hardo with them? Or is she giving
it
to them?
Yeah, she loves to be like, really a drill sergeant them down. And I'm like, I don't like to be yelled at. I think I do have like a all of my workouts are very calm and very solitary because I'm like, I don't want that.
I 100% agree. I'm not into group classes, and I like going to the gym for the alone time.
Yeah, totally.
And for that, like, being like, I'm listening to my podcast, I'm doing little weights, and that's it. Like, I 100% don't need to be yelled at.
This was maybe going to be one of my options for the boys clubs I'm not in, but it's like, the like working out as like a culture, I don't enjoy. Like, I want to go and like sort of like, yes, I want to know what I'm doing. I don't want to injure myself, but like, that's kind of it. Like, as soon as I'm like, no, the way to do it is you like, first you start at chest, then you work your way out, and then you like rest a day. I'm like, no. This is supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I know the over like science, like, and it's also all like pseudoscience from people on Reddit and like,
totally.
And, like, everybody on TikTok has a different opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no exercise and diet science, I'm putting that in quotes, are always like very, I don't know, anecdotal. I feel like there's not good action. Like, there's so many people who have opinions about it, and it's like, I'm not even going to open that door. I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's my podcast.
I work out a lot, but I don't think that's my community. I think it's my addiction. And I think it's actually a problem that I have.
Which in many ways is antithetical to community.
Yeah. And I think that here's the thing. Those people have it too. I just don't know how to tell them that.
Yeah.
Be like, you're 39.
The people you see every day.
And you don't
like,
have
hey, we're all always here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I work as a group fitness instructor sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Shout out.
Yes. At my class, on an eval, I was described as too militant, which I was like, okay.
Wow.
Visibility, representation.
Too militant. Uh-oh. I'm always worried because I coach kids. I coach soccer. For my day job, and I'm always worried that they're going to be like, you're too intense, or like, you're taking this too seriously, you're yelling too much. But honestly, I think the parents in Park Slope like don't have it in themselves to be anything but gentle parents, so they kind of like that somebody's like, you can't do that.
Yeah, that is very true. Wow, I can't believe you're both in leadership roles.
I know. That was the most generous way anyone has ever described our jobs, leadership roles.
I guess
yeah.
I've always shied away from a place where I have to tell anyone what to do.
That's probably healthy.
Maybe it's fearful. It's hard to tell.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, when it's children, pretty easy to have that dynamic.
And mine are women. You know what I mean? It's like,
so they love to be yelled at by a gay man.
Yeah.
That's like Michelle Wolf's joke on her new special. That's like, he's mean to me, like, about having gay best friends.
Yes.
She's like, he's mean to me, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom is that type. And she's like fun because it's like a small town, and
yeah.
She's like kind of like, you know, the social mayor, like,
yeah.
Knows everyone, like, makes merch, like,
oh,
sees, like,
cool.
People in her, like, hats out, and is like, hey, girl.
Does she, like, ever hit you up to be like, how does one make merch? Or how does one, like, brand themselves in this way?
Sort of like how to do social media.
Yeah.
Which I just have given up on, because nothing but respect to her process. But it was just like, there was a point where I was like, well, why? Like,
yeah.
Your social media is for this very small town where you already know everyone. Like,
right.
You're not really going to get like people from Chicago to drive 2 hours to come here.
Yeah. It's at a certain point, like, if you have so many followers, who cares? If you've got everybody in the town knows who you are, that's kind of the market.
That's it. You did it.
Which is kind of, there's a bliss to that. There's like
of
a,
course.
Yeah, that's so like,
to not
peaceful.
Feel like you have to
you're
have
free.
Everybody.
Your mom's free.
She's returned to the woods, you
yeah.
know? That's what we all want.
Truly. Oh, preach.
What if someone was like, all you need is Williamsburg. If you get Williamsburg, you get the world. And it's like, so then that's all your job.
That would be nice.
Damn.
That would be nice. To not have to feel like you have to reach more and more and more people.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to that, though. Like, I do feel like, and maybe this is, like, you know, slightly generational, but when I started comedy, I was, like, not trying to get, like, a million followers.
Yeah.
I was like, how do I get booked on blank, 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 blank?
Yeah.
Like, it was more like, and now I do feel like everyone's like, how do I get a million followers? Like, the younger people are like,
it.
I need, that's the only way to succeed.
Yeah.
In a way that is kind of foreign to me.
I hate it. I don't love social media. I don't, like, I wish that we didn't have to use, like, I feel it's a nice tool in some respects. Like, I do think it's giving opportunity to some people who wouldn't get traditional channels.
Yeah, Matt Rife. Like,
yeah, Matt. Exactly. It's helping those who. Yeah, exactly. So it's really not helping anybody other than Matt Rife. But in theory, it could help reach people. And I think there are some people who have reached like specific audiences like across the country and whatever. But It is soul crushing to have to be on that app.
Yeah.
And by that app, I mean Instagram.
Yeah, it's gross.
I hate it because we'll never escape our pasts. Like, we'll never escape our pasts. We'll never escape our past loves. We know way too much about everyone that we've ever previously loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way too easy to, like, keep up with that kind of stuff, too, and to, like, check on people. I don't know. It's just, like, too... It's too much access to too many things all the time.
Well, I know.
I mean, I even feel that way about podcasts, where it's like, like, this should delete after a year.
Right?
Like, this... Because I won't feel the same way.
Well, yeah. We're lucky in that our sound was so bad a year ago
that nobody could even hear it.
We'll just delete it.
I know. Anybody who's in the archives is like, oh, my God. Yeah. Was this filmed underwater? Like, what? Yeah. Okay. Should we get in our questions?
What's the boys club that you are not a part of?
Okay. A boys club I'm not a part of. Okay. This, and potentially didn't understand the prompt, but only
there
potentially.
There is no wrong answer.
Okay. Well, it's something that I feel like I've been pursuing forever, but I've never actually reached, and it's almost an unattainable goal. Which is like full record guy, boys club. Like knowing like vintage like artists and like every like I was in like music circles when I first moved to New York. I was in a band and like it was there was always like cooler music guys and it would be like okay like I need to learn about this and this and then it'd be like you know that no you need to learn about this and this and it was always changing. And where I was like, how the hell do you get ahead of this and not just be like chasing the cooler music guy?
Yeah. I love that you were in a band because we often talk about how we don't know what music is or who does music or how they start or what that community is. I'm fascinated by that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
When someone goes to an open mic or something and they're like, I'm here to sing a sad song. I'm like, God, can I follow you around for a day? Where else do you go?
It really is a different culture. I mean, like... I don't know. I'm not aware of the New York music scene at all anymore. But when I first was here, like in 2012, 2013, it was like I knew all the like little indie spots and there were like, you know, four cool bands that were like, oh, they're going to take off at any second. And then like kind of didn't. And then there were like eight bands below them and then like, you know, 15 bands below them. And it was like, whoa. And we would like you'd like make alliances and it was like. Kind of like comedy, but more like in comedy, you can be like, okay, well, that's funny. In music, it was more like, well, how cool are they?
Yeah. Interesting. I also, with like music in general and like chasing that thing, I had like, I don't know, a couple months ago, I was really high and I was like, I am going to make a list of every album I've ever, I've ever heard of. And I'm going to listen to all of, I'm going to do like one a day and I'm going to listen to it all the way through because I just like want to, I feel like I need to know all this stuff. And I do that all the time where I'll, like, set these expectations for myself to, like, have to, like, I have to read all these books and I have to know all this stuff and I have to watch all these movies. And it's like, just do it as it comes to you. And if you never listen to every Beatles album, it's going to be okay. Like, it's really going to be okay. But I relate that I, like, don't, I feel behind on, like, so much of that stuff. And it's like, how do they become the tastemaker?
It's, and there's so many different directions to go in because it's like, there's so much stuff. As soon as you start to figure it out, it's like, okay, well, but then you're leaving yourself unknowledgeable about all this other stuff.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You spend too much time in it. It's like, and then you're like, you don't know how to do anything else.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, what if I get super into jazz? And then it's like, okay, but now I don't know, like, who's happening now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so sometimes I just like, yeah, I've now had the approach. I'm almost like anti-intellectual about it where I am just like pop. Like that's it.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to be like, well, it would be nice to not be just like fed sugar all the time. And so it's hard to tell.
Who was on your Spotify Wrapped?
I was about to ask that very
My number one was Lana Del Rey.
Nice.
Okay.
My number two was Kalayla. Uh-huh. My number three was Caroline Polachek. Four was SZA. And five was Beyonce.
Love. Okay, that's a pretty good, like, diverse
tasteful.
Smattering. Yeah, yeah.
This guy one time that I dated when I lived in Chicago, it was obsessed with Lana Del Rey and we used to watch music videos, like the Ride music video. I think I've seen it 400 times. Like that one. If only they could track the things that you listen to with the guy that you're seeing in Chicago. Spotify Wrapped. Add that up.
Spotify needs to get on the algorithm.
Yes.
Truly. I was a real hater for a while.
Of her in general.
Yeah. And it changed. I mean, with Norman fucking Rockwell, I like fully shifted and became obsessed and now I'm everything I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
And that is an album that I did not appreciate until I sat. Okay, so my New Year's resolution, I had like a list of things that I was going to try to work on this year and I moisturized
one,
for two
ass.
My ass, and I wanted to moisturize my little face. And I wanted to listen to one album every month in completion from start to finish. So I listened to a Muna album, and then I listened to a Lana Del Rey album, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with this. But I listened to Norman fucking Rockwell in one sitting. Like, that album is so, I don't know how to describe it, because I'm not a critic. I'm not Pitchfork. I'm just a person.
And nobody's asking you to be.
No, no. Come as you are.
It's such a good album. Like, because I always love Venice Bitch. Like, uh-huh. I used to shower to that song on repeat. But like California, Cinnamon Girl. Like the whole, yeah, it's such a good.
It's so good. Start to finish.
Yeah.
She has such a one of a kind voice. Like you, as soon as you hear her, like you know it's a Lana Del Rey song.
Yeah.
Off the bat. Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised by my Spotify rap because my number one was Remy Wolf, who I love. But I just like didn't think that was my, like, it's so funny. Like you'll be like, I must have listened to them so much in like February.
It is kind of top loaded. Like yeah. It's like, it was a lot of that January, February, March.
Yeah, clearly you guys were generating this a while ago. Yeah. Like you weren't generating what I listened to in the last month.
Yeah. Because there was a point when like Rush came out that I was like listening to it on repeat. And I was like, that didn't make top five songs.
Yeah.
It makes me feel cool. Makes me feel like I'm not like other gay guys, but.
I know. And I went through a phase where I was into Tidal because it was Sam Schaefer. And I was like, I'm a Tidal guy now. So I'm like, well, I don't know what I missed. I think I was really into Cosmic Love that month. So I don't know what a Florence Machine would have been on this.
True.
Yeah.
So it doesn't know. It can kind of account for when you betray Spotify. It doesn't account for
we
that.
Need a government wrapped that watches everything you listen to.
And everything
all
you
the
do.
Time.
And just analyzes your entire day and everything you're up to.
Yes.
I know. I'm wondering if there's any other parts of my life I would want that kind of like info on, because I do love the Spotify Wrapped. It is fun. Like I like how they've now made it like the little song that they play. Or, you know, they're doing all their little things and
yeah. But I'm also just like, fun. Get to the fucking point.
Like, I know. I and it's like being like ready, and you're like, okay, why is it 30 seconds of me being like ready?
They're building hype.
Drum roll, please.
I love it. They're not afraid of a little show.
Yeah.
They told me, okay, this is gonna be a huge brag, and I don't know if this happened to a lot of people, but like, you know how everyone's like, oh, people in Tempe, Arizona are a lot like you.
Is that what yours was?
No, mine was Cambridge, Massachusetts.
So you've seen the binary, right?
What is that?
The binary is you're either a Cambridge, Massachusetts or a Berkeley, California. Like every LGBTQ plus person is one or the other.
This is body gay versus mind gay.
Maybe I'm off.
I thought we invented that.
Well, this is another version of that. That's interesting because I got Burlington, Vermont.
Oh,
so that's like a little bit more crunchy. But so did Richard Perez. Shout out. So
shout out.
My kindred spirits.
I saw someone get Burlington, North Carolina, where I went to college. I was like, that's a shitty town. You did not want that. What did you get?
Well, I did use Apple Music, so I didn't get assigned a location.
Wait, that's
they're always one step behind.
Yeah,
you know?
They are reactionary. At the end of the day, Apple Music is reactionary.
Yeah.
Which is kind of antithetical to their whole, you know, ethos as a company.
Why are you on it, and do you want to start a Tidal family plan with them?
I'm on it because it just like made sense as a transition where I was like on iTunes back in the day, and then it was like Spotify, I was always like, well, I have all this other music. And so I was like, well, and then when Apple Music dropped, I was like, okay, perfect. Now I can just use this. And so now I've just used it forever. I mean, it works fine. I don't know.
But ain't bro, sense. Don't fix it. Wait, is Tidal the one that's like Jay-Z's?
Yeah, I think they pay their artists better in theory.
And that's why I do it. But also because the sound, I couldn't even tell you what about the sound is different or if it actually is different. But the sound is theoretically supposed to be like really top notch.
Yeah, but I feel like somebody maybe Sam was saying that like you can if you get the highest level, like the highest plan has like the best sound quality, but it's like it's only gonna work if you have like fancy headphones too. So if you just have like regular run of the mill AirPods or any other headphone, like it's not even gonna be worth the money because you can't hear it. I don't think the regular plan. But
yeah, so what headphones are you working with?
I hope it's not these.
I have these like okay, so my
AirPods. You have nice AirPod Maxes though.
I have to tell you something. No, I don't. I lost them.
Oh, no.
No.
Wait, but here's the
but
thing.
Christmas is right around
the
corner.
I feel free
so
without
true.
No, I feel free. I feel so free. Like, to have anything that has value in this world is a burden.
I fully agree.
I know. That's one of the things I'm like, I want to buy rings, and I'm like, I'm going to lose those in a minute. Yeah.
Okay, they got ripped off my head. And
what?
What?
I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want anyone. I want to be the victim for real reasons. Like, I'm an alcoholic. I'm sober. I eat weird. Like, those are the reasons.
You got robbed?
I got robbed. I don't like when you say it like
wait.
The word robbed feels too jarring, but okay. I guess it technically
is. This is the first time hearing this.
Wait, there's like, wow, you said that I got robbed, and I feel like I had a repressed memory. Like, you got robbed. You got robbed.
Sometimes you have to name these things.
I can't believe this is a reveal.
I was in Rock-a-Rolla.
He does this all the time where he'll just say things, and I'm like, how is this the first time hearing this? I talk to you every minute of every day. Continue.
I was near Rock-a-Rolla. I wasn't going there. I'm not a child. So I was near Rock-a-Rolla. And I was crossing the street, and I was listening to "Tis the Damn Season" by Taylor Swift, not a holiday song. And then suddenly this like crazy person on a motorcycle almost hit me, and I was like jarring. And then, I literally threw my arms out. I went, "Are you kidding me?" And then I just kept walking, and then I just started singing, "We could call it even," because if you don't have Taylor Swift in your ears, be Taylor Swift. So I just sang Taylor Swift the rest of the way.
Wait,
I was coming here.
That's today?
No, it was like 3 weeks ago.
Wait, that is wild. But
those are like the over-the-ear ones like this? But
who needs that? Who needs that?
You needed them.
I was worried they were going to make me go bald.
I want to back up. Somebody on a motorcycle.
They rush you right up against your head.
Somebody on a motorcycle was driving by, or a moped of sorts, was driving by and grabbed them off
your
head.
You could tell that my eyes were like, motorcycle. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Did they say, and they just zoomed off.
They were gone
was
so fast.
Was anybody else around to see this happen?
Yeah, but I didn't want people. It was one of those things where now I'm going to bring up a fellow artist, Jacqueline Novak.
Of course.
Our friend.
Coworker.
Peer of the pod.
I was like, I need people to know that, like, I'm not the client. I know that was crazy. Like, I'm not the fool.
Yeah.
So I was just like, are you kidding me? And then I just, like, kept walking as if I wasn't upset.
It is hard to know what to do in a situation like that because you don't want to, like, reveal your vulnerability, but everybody just saw you get something stolen, and that is vulnerable.
You know, I've been hearing about moped-based crimes recently.
Really?
It's a thing. It's trending.
It's trending.
If you have moped in a dream, you can be a criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my boyfriend is, like, addicted to, like, the Bushwick Reddit, which I think is toxic, but he
you
does.
You said that in my head. I was like, I cannot wait to go home and Google look that up.
He follows Bushwick Reddit, and people just post about, like, local stuff. And, you know, generally it's like, this restaurant is open, this bar is open. But this was like, this is happening. Moped guys are stealing bags and stealing stuff off people. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound real.
Wait,
and now you're telling
me
it's real.
What about is that I was like, oh, there's nothing to take from me. And now I'm like, well, bags. Okay, you can still have your bags taken.
I feel like it'd be tougher to get a backpack.
A backpack's tough.
The headphones.
You'd have to take me with you. Like
you would be dragging behind the motorcycle, just clang down the street.
Oh
my God. Well, now I'm stressed. Thank God I don't have fancy headphones.
But the joke's on them because those headphones are heavily discolored because that time we went to upstate and I got a bad spray tan, those headphones are brown on the inside. They are fucking brown. Good luck selling them. They're brown.
Yeah. Well, I know. I hope they, they don't have a charger for them. I mean, I guess you can find that elsewhere, but wow. I'm sorry that happened.
No. I'm not the victim in this situation.
You kind of are.
You got robbed.
No, not robbed.
I don't know why you're trying to shrink yourself in such a huge way.
Yeah.
There's nothing more just like fucking loser than being like, you never really feel bad for you. But if you're at home and you feel bad, then subscribe to our Patreon.
I mean, which we'll make someday. At the end of the day, of course, you know, having your Apple Air Max is not the biggest crime that could
I hate that we did this thing where we made it all about my horrible experience that happened to me because this is your episode.
No. This
What's
is,
something horrible
This
that
is your episode.
This is your trauma.
What's a time episode? Where you were the victim?
Okay. First of all, I've never been the victim.
Exactly. You get it.
Well, okay. Well, you're not going to be able to hear title music is what we've come to the conclusion.
Wait,
of.
I know. I literally was like, thank God I didn't join Sam Schaefer's family plan because there's no point.
So do you have any backup headphones now?
Well, yeah, they just have really bad earwax in them, but they are. I have these like little 3 years old earbuds, like little like ones in your ears as they should be. Like
unstealable,
normal, and it's
they
like
have to really get close to you to
yeah.
get those out.
Yeah, it's like literally take it. What are you gonna do with it? Clean it, maybe. Like I don't know.
I have one more. Was it smooth? Was it a smooth grab?
Yeah, like did you
like did it hit
you?
Your head at all?
Bro, it was so smooth. I was not hurt at all. I was not. I did not feel physically.
His first time.
Yeah.
Not
damn.
His first time.
And I'm gonna say something. It might have been a her. I think it was like
okay, icon, legend.
Kind of hot. Like
yeah, this has changed the story completely.
Yeah, she's on like a little ninja motorcycle.
I'm on her side. Yeah.
Full leather outfit. I love her.
I think that it was a girly pop.
She's like Catwoman or something.
Yes. Truly. She did a backflip.
Yes.
On the bike.
I say this now. One time I did go on a Vespa with a guy I loved. So maybe it was
and by a Vespa, you do mean a Revel.
A Revel.
Damn. We tell ourselves stories on it.
Those people had fucking energy. And I mean, I do mean like the energy of they were fucking, if that makes sense.
The people on the moped.
Yeah.
Wait. There were two.
Oh
my God.
The story continues to evolve. So somebody's driving, somebody's grabbing.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes more sense. Okay.
Either it evolves or you're lying.
Swear. But it was really fast. And then you're sitting there and you're like, I'm still on this earth and I still have to keep going. And like.
No, that's really shameful. That feeling where, because you're like, what do I do?
I was also like, my phone is obsessed with being like, you left your AirPods behind. It tells me every second. And I was like, no notification about that. I was like, well, they're gone.
Yeah, seriously. When we need you most, tracking device. Yes. I one time fell off my bike in front of people. And that was similarly like, well, now I got to just like get up and keep riding this. And everybody's like, are you okay? And it's like, don't touch me.
Yeah, I had that happen once. I had another one that was weird where this makes me sound bad, but I was a dog walker and a dog got off the leash and it ended up fine.
Oh
it
my
ended
goodness,
up fine.
That's stressful.
But it got off the leash and ran away and it ran home and was fine. But like, I was like freaking out and I was just like, what the fuck do I do? And like everyone on the sidewalk was just like, why are you being weird?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and I was like, did you see the dog? And they're like, no. And I was just like, oh my God.
That is so stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry that happened.
It's okay.
Wow. Thank God.
We made it through. It made it through. And I was just sitting on a doorstep. And I was like, this is crazy. It was like six blocks.
I grew up in, like I said earlier, I grew up in Savannah, Georgia. And there's a lot of intercoastal waterways. And there's a river, like several rivers there. And there was a sign up one time near one of the rivers that was like looking for this like lost like chihuahua. And it was like fell off a boat somewhere between this point in the river. And I was like, I think that's an open and shut case. I think that one's done.
That
this was
such
happy.
A
that was really sad.
I know. Yeah. Sorry to bring it down, but I just remember seeing the signs and being like, who are these signs for?
She swam home.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of things in those rivers.
So are there gators there?
There's gators. There's wild boars on some of the islands that are like
not
inhabited. Yeah. Anyway, not
those
to
are water inhabiting creatures.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
Well, no, they're on an island. But I'm just saying there's certain islands like in the intercoastal that are not like they're not inhabited by any people, but there's like wild boars out there. So if the chihuahua chose that side of the river.
You're describing the show Lost.
Yeah, we'll redo Lost, but it's a chihuahua drops off a boat and lands on an island.
Have you guys seen Anatomy of a Fall?
No, but
my brother
I've heard it's
told me to see it.
It's good, but this thing happens where they keep being like whenever there's like a discrepancy in the repetition of the story, they're like, you're lying. Like, because why are you telling me something different now? And so now I'm obsessed with how people change their stories naturally because I notice I do it all the time. And I'm like, but why did I lie a little bit? Like,
yeah, that's or like the way it changes over time.
Yeah.
It's like, what is objective truth?
So now whenever anyone's telling something, I'm like, or why don't you repeat that?
What specifics do they deem important and don't deem important?
Literally just any time it deviates from anything.
Interesting. I know. I've heard good things. I want to see it. We're getting back to music.
Music
and being on ahead of the curve. Do you feel like you're ahead of the curve on music?
No. I think I'm behind.
Period.
You're pretty locked in on Taylor Swift. You're even a late in life Swiftie, I would argue.
I'm not a Swiftie, dude.
Okay, sorry.
I'm a scholar.
A late in life scholar.
I love Taylor Swift. My top five was Taylor Swift, Muna, and then three other people. Oh, no, Julian Baker, which I like because it reminds people that I'm sober.
And complicated. If Julian Baker's on your top five, check in, folks. Check in.
That's the darkest. Do you know Julian Baker?
Yeah.
That's some dark shit.
She is the darkest of the three.
Did that kind of make you see me in a different light? You were like...
No, I already knew that about you.
Dark.
Why do you feel shame identifying as a Swiftie?
I just think most of those people are so annoying. And like those people are the people that are like stalking her in the streets. And like they're on Long Beach Island. And they're like watching her at Jack Antonoff's wedding, which Lana Del Rey was also at, by the way.
Oh, shout out.
Yes. And there was like they're obsessively oppressive. And it's like, what does that say about your own sense of self that you are obsessed with this other person?
But do you think you could change the public image of Swiftie by being a positive Swiftie in the world.
By being like, I'm a medicated Swiftie.
Okay. Yeah.
In therapy.
Yeah. And maybe that would be so good for, maybe that'd be good for her to have some people turn down the heat a little bit.
Yes.
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
But also, she's making money off of it. So maybe she likes it.
I know. That's true. Yeah.
I know. It's hard to say.
Some of the merch she sells, I'm like, fucking losers. But I think that about the word Catholic. I'm a Catholic. And part of that is like...
Like a practicing Catholic?
No, I'm just like a telling Catholic. Like, I'm Catholic. This is a Catholic podcast run by two Catholics. We are Catholic.
Two former Catholics.
No. No one can take this from us. No one can take this from us.
I feel there is a cultural side to Catholicism.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's something about being like, I'm a Catholic, and that no one can take that from you. And then you go out there and you suck dick. You know what I mean? And you're just like...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it's subversive. Yeah. Yeah. To be a trans person, to be like, but I'm still a Catholic, is a way to dig at the Catholic Church.
To go feast on the Eucharist. Absolutely feast on it.
Say, yeah. I'll have seconds, please. Give me more. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that, but I say I'm straight because I grew up straight. And then I go, suck cock.
Were you raised Catholic in Michigan?
No. My mom was raised Catholic.
Where?
In Illinois.
Of course.
But no, we were like not super religious. We moved around like every 2 to 3 years. And then like there were a few places where we would like put in the effort and try to find like an Episcopal church. But then it just became too much work and we didn't care. So it was fine.
It's funny. Like my parents also, we kind of like ebb and flow with when we would go to church. I felt like there was times we were going all the time and I was going to Sunday school. And then there were times where we were not going at all. And I was like, in hindsight, I'm like, what was going on with you guys? That there were times we were checking in with the faith and times we were like, we're actually good. Like, I wonder if that's like a, we could map what was happening in their lives on that. Because obviously I didn't have a choice if we were going to church or not.
I feel like your upbringing was very Keepers vibes, was very like spotlight was happening. That, no, am I wrong? Wasn't that kind of when you were
What
a
do
kid?
You mean by that?
Like when the people...
Like
when
they were just judgmental of the church.
Or
remember like when the scandals were coming out? No, what I mean is, but when the scandals came out, like so my family was very Catholic, my extended family.
Oh,
like my
people...
Of like course. Very like obsessed with whatever. And then that all happened. And these people that were like very religious just kind of like dropped.
Oh, because of
that
all
was
the,
like,
yeah, I don't know if they, I don't remember anybody as a child bringing up to me the, what was happening, you know, and it has been happening in the church for a long time. I don't remember. Cause I think my people are always very hush hush about that, which is part of what
the part of the problem
going. Yeah. Yeah.
What I loved about your story about moving is that like, I do feel like if you want to break a habit or start a habit, you've got to uproot your life. If like that is, yes, just fucking go.
I think it's true.
Gotta get somewhere.
Is that why you were always moving?
Yeah, because we needed a change.
Hey, it's the Midwest. You gotta mix it up.
You gotta mix it up. No, my dad's not military. He works in human resources, and would sort of like bop from company to company.
Cool.
Going up and having to move, getting fired, having to move, that type of thing.
Yeah, corporate ladder.
Corporate ladder.
Corporate ladder.
You climb, you fall.
I know. They say the only way to rise is to leave and then to come back and be like, well, this other place is giving me more money. That's like how you get a promotion.
Is that what you did when you left RX Bar?
Yeah, I did. My next job after that, I was making more money and I had a better title, but I was ultimately unhappy because I was living a lie.
Was that the beef jerky?
Yes.
Of course.
I was not meant to work in influencer marketing for beef jerky. That was not my truth.
But hey, we all have to start there.
Yes.
Yeah. Should we do our...
What's a boys club you are a part of?
A boys club I am a part of. I don't know what has been done before, and this is potentially too obvious and normal, but it's like gay comedy. Like,
we haven't had gay comedy.
No one's
had
gay comedy, and I love that you're bringing this up.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I started comedy, there wasn't, like, a gay scene at all. Like, there were no, like, gay mics. There was no nothing. Like, I truly none. And so, like, I would go to open mics and just, like, met, like, you know, Julio and Joel Kim Booster and... Like, we then, like, on Bowen, and we all started, like, hanging out, and it was like, okay, like, we're the only gay people in our little scenes. And then we were, like, formed, like, a tight-knit group, and it was, like, very fun and is very fun. But now it's sort of like, oh, now I see that there's, like, almost a, like, establishment thing about it now.
Yeah.
Where, like, before it was like, we're, like, saying fuck you to everything, and now it's like, oh, now it's like... We have to be aware of like the power of whatever we have or You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, like it is like a new thing, but it still has like its own. Yeah, it is more. It feels more official now. Like there is a gay comedy scene.
Yeah,
and there's probably way more openly gay comedians now than even like 5 years ago or whenever.
Yeah.
The straightest mic I go to, I've been informed, is a gay bar. It's at Branded Saloon. And it's the straight. It's the. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
I did not know that was a gay bar. Those people are scary.
Well,
they're straight.
In New York, it's like there's pride flags up, but do you mean it?
Yeah. I don't know if they mean it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like in June, there's no way to tell.
There's no way to tell.
And in some ways, I don't love that. I don't want to be tricked.
I agree. I don't want to be tricked.
We decided to start working together at a gay bringer. If that makes sense.
at Greenwich Village Comedy Club.
Can we talk about that on here?
Sure. I mean, Yasmus.
We were at a gay bringer, which is a kind of a punishment for being gay, is that you get invited to this bringer 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
It's marketed as a festival through Broadway Comedy Club called Yas Fest.
You don't know what this is.
So we should have run
I'm
at first.
I'm upset that we know what this is.
We should have run then when we were signed up for something called Yas Fest. But it is a bringer in disguise where you have to bring five people to participate.
When all my dreams come true, I'm going to be just like walking around being like, don't do bringers. That's going to be my contribution to the community.
You should do that now.
Yeah.
Like,
don't do it. Yeah, but that's how we met, was doing a... So there's so much, to your point, so much establishment gay that they're doing this kind of stuff. They're making us run through that.
And the titles we were between was Boys Club or Velvet Rave. Like Velvet Rage.
Were we?
In my head, I was like, I want to do something called Velvet Rave. Someone can steal that. I don't want to do it anymore.
No, it's yours. Copyright it.
Velvet Rave.
Do you feel that you are part of establishment?
Sometimes. I feel that I'm sort of an in-between. Like, I almost felt more establishment like pre-pandemic when I was like more in like hosting a lot of shows and like putting on a lot of live stuff where I like was literally controlling booking. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I'm a gatekeeper now. And so I have to like care about that.
Yeah.
And then since pandemic, I'm more like, I have the podcast, but that like where we have guests on. But other than that, I'm like, it's more like solo writing projects and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't feel as establishment where I'm not like keeping anyone or lifting anyone up.
Yeah.
Because it's a double-edged sword.
It totally is. Yeah. I was thinking about that recently too, that there, who was I talking about this with? But like there is this extra, like, for good reason, pressure, I think, on queer people to be like, well, you can't pass the line and then fuck everybody behind you. Like, it's like, you have to like keep that door open, which I think we all should do and is a good thing, but there's so many other things that go into it, and there's like a lot of pressure there to like be cultivating something that will like continue to allow for that to happen while not feeling like you are in any way jeopardizing your own happiness, success, or anything else.
Yeah, it's confusing. I do feel like I still do literally every show that is ever asked of me. Which sometimes I'm like, is this bad?
It's hard to say no.
It's hard to say no.
Yeah.
And it's good practice. And I like seeing who's new and who's up and coming. And it's fun to like feel like you're still part of the scene. And
yeah.
Because it did feel like it wasn't that I got like a big job or anything. It was more like the pandemic happened. And then there were like little jobs where now it's like, okay, like I'm like stable in this career, but it's not like I like suddenly like was plucked or something. And so it was more like I was suddenly taken out of the scene only by the pandemic almost.
Yeah.
And just like haven't quite found like the same level of community, and almost I'm like, do I want the same level of community, or is that like, or should I just try to move up? And I'm like, but that doesn't feel good in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people I've talked to, cause I wasn't here and neither you before the pandemic. So we only know post pandemic,
okay,
you know, comedy world, but a lot of people have said that it's like, like a lot of things like, and especially I think people who are at like a certain point in their career when it hit, like really probably felt that the most of like, you were on the edge of something and then it just all of a sudden went away.
Yeah.
And now there's like this other side. Now that you're on the other side of it and it's like, looks different. And like, you're not hosting bar shows anymore. You're not hosting whatever, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
like you're just in this new, and I'm sure a lot of people moved to LA or like,
yeah,
stopped completely maybe.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
Cause it is like, I was lucky enough, like I felt bad for people who were like 2 years behind me, where it was like, because I was like had a job right when the pandemic started. It wasn't like a fancy job, but it was like a comedy job. And I was like, okay, I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and then that led to more stuff. But it was like the people that were like just figuring out like their voice, I was like, and I have to wait like for years? This is crazy.
Yeah. I always feel grateful that we came after, because I think that would have been really stressful.
We've talked about the middle ground, that there's like kind of this middle.
Yeah.
That got hurt the worst because they didn't have like, I don't know if this is an appropriate use of the word industry. The industry
support,
appeal, backing, support.
Sure.
And then, but they had already put a lot of work in. So then they lost everything. Whereas like we kind of didn't have anything at all. And, like,
nothing,
like
nothing
we don't have
to
shit.
Lose.
We're at East Folk Comedy Club at an open mic. So like, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think I try to be aware of when I am establishment and when I'm not. Like, yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about the, like, does it excite you that there's more? I mean, like, do you feel
mostly? I think I was like scared when it stuff first started reopening, where I was like, oh no, there's like truly a whole new cast.
Yeah.
And they have no idea that I've been here for 7 fucking years. And
totally.
Like, and yeah. I was like, this is crazy. But then it was like, oh, once you meet everyone and it's fun again.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And it's always gonna happen. Like, even if you get a job where you have to move to LA and be there for 2 years, there's going to be a whole new cast in New York, and
right.
You're not going to know it. And you kind of have to, as part of growing up, I think, is being okay with that, which I do struggle with. But
it's hard to also, like, already, I'm sure, in many ways, I still feel new, relatively speaking, to, like, being in New York and being in comedy and whatnot. But, like, it is weird to be like, well, I'm not the newest. I don't know. There's already going to always be newer. I don't know. You like lose that identity so quickly. And then you're like, oh, like, yeah, now who am I now? And who am I now? And who am I now? And it's like a weird, consistent evolution.
It's so hard not to think about things in level at like almost like school classes.
Yes,
and
yes.
So I remember like being like the people that were below me. And then there was like a class below them. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, this is crazy. This is going to keep happening. And now I've sort of lost sense of that in a good way, because that will drive you insane.
Yeah.
But like, it's so funny who I thought was like, okay, they're 2 grades below me.
No, totally. I thought about it the same way when we first, like, I was like, okay, I'm a freshman right now. And then I'm like, now I do feel like a sophomore. And then, it is toxic to think about it that way sometimes. Yeah. But it's it does feel like school. Like, you do know way too many people, kind of. You know? Like, you kind of know so many people, and then you have, like, your close group of friends, and then
I'm
way
so
too
petty.
Many acquaintances.
I just I'm so petty, because when you were like, my group is gay comedians, I was like, yeah, there's a gay comedian group chat I'm not in. But I was like, I just want everyone to know that I know, and so does my collaborator, that I'm not in it. And I don't want to be
in it.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to start one with him, and it's going to be called Neurodivergent Gay Comedians that Don't Want to Be in Your Group Chat.
Yeah. I know there's so many that there can even be group chats. Wow. Multiple.
I know.
Yeah.
And in that way, it's progress, that we can
it's very much
bully
progress.
Each other instead of being bullied by straight
that
people.
That is beautiful.
And isn't that beautiful?
Do you feel, well, I feel like right now, Brooklyn versus Manhattan, but like Brooklyn to me is queer. Like, Brooklyn comedy is queer. And I guess before, Brooklyn comedy was like alt.
Yeah.
I think that's not true. And is it fair to say that's less true, and it's more just like, it's actually just gay?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have any, I mean, you can probably speak to what it was like before, but I don't know. Maybe it's just my own bias or just the world that I'm in. But like, to me, I'm like, 90% of the comedy I think is good is coming from someone who is gay.
Yeah. I think I agree with that.
We all agree with co-sign.
It takes a lot for a straight person to impress me.
But they, you know, the straight circles that are alt, I always am impressed by, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know who the younger versions of those are. I feel like I don't meet them as much.
I feel like every time I meet like a straight alt person, though, they're like secretly bisexual, and it's like, got him again. It's like, I don't even know who are the straight people.
That's true. When I was like, there was like the annoyance that had like a big group of straight guys who are now off to do big things. And we're so proud of them.
I was in Chicago. I didn't realize that. I guess I did used to know the annoyance had been here.
It was here for like maybe 2 years, but it was like the hottest spot for those 2 years, which is weird because I lived in Chicago too and interned at the annoyance in like 2010 or something. And it was like they were always kind of struggling and always kind of like the flop theater compared to the other ones. And so when they were like so hot in New York for a second, I was like, this is wild. This is unexpected. And then they shut it down.
We just talked about this. If you want to change your image, you have to move. If you have to, if you want to quit a habit, form a habit, be cooler than you were, you have to unpack your bags.
And the thing was, they shut down the Brooklyn Annoyance to like open the new Annoyance space in Chicago. And it was like, no. Close the Chicago one. Yeah. This one's working.
Wait, that woman. Do you remember that woman that ran it in Chicago?
Yes.
Okay, her husband was so sweet. He passed away, but he taught me this one time. Like, I was had to be 23 years old, and he taught me this like sitcom spec script class. I don't even think people write those anymore. But I, that's actually the end of that thought. And he was so lovely. And he was like this old professorial man. And I was like, I love you.
Well, R.I.P.
His name was, I'm not going to name him. Because I don't remember. Michael McCarthy, I think. Do you know who that is?
No, actually. I was thinking of someone else.
And it's too late for him to change his legacy. That's sad.
Well,
you made this sad.
No.
No, you made
your
this
victim
sad.
Complex made this sad.
Wait, what was I? Oh, well, it must feel really like cool and exciting for like you and the other like queer comics you came up with, like to see like your success and like Bowen and Joel and like I mean, like it's so cool that like what started as like this little pocket amongst a very straight scene to like be so established and doing cool things. Like that's really exciting.
It is cool. It is cool. It's also like, sometimes you're like I guess me, I'm like, are we being erased? Did that whole, like, I was like, we did something there.
Yeah.
But we're not. It's
and
fine.
It's like, where is the credit for the revolution?
We're not. It's actually fine. but that's always the fear, but no, it does feel cool. It's good that, there's more gay comedians now.
There's so many.
There's literally a ton. I do, like, sometimes I'm like, it's a, not to sound Republican, but I'm like, you know, the toughness you get when you perform at those straight mics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, everyone, there's a gay, gays performing for gays. And I'm like, but where are you getting your strife?
Yeah. Where are you?
You need to go to Grizzly Bear. I wrote one joke about fat. At Grizzly Pear that I still tell today. That faggot joke was a Grizzly Pear
joke.
And
they laughed too hard.
They started chanting it. And I was like, okay.
So we got to get out of here. Yeah.
Do you know what Grizzly Pear is?
Yeah. Nightmare. Nightmare.
Nightmare. That room is, well, you walk in there and you know, well, this can't be good. Because it's
so
dark.
In there and
I'm
like, I can't see anything.
I know. That's the only time I felt like I really was targeted by somebody on stage within that space.
Scary.
This Pepino.
Yes. Anyway, I agree, though, that I think there is going to be this, like, for a lot of queer comedians, like who I think it's cool. I always go back and forth because I think it's really cool. And I think a really powerful thing about comedy, obviously, is its ability to create community and like to give space and voice to people who don't get a platform otherwise. And like sometimes, sure, maybe it is preaching to the choir, but it's not a choir who gets a lot of praise.
True.
Globally. So it is cool that we have these spaces. But at the same time, sometimes those rooms can be the hardest because it's like, nothing I say is novel to you guys.
Everything
you've already heard, maybe, or it's like not. So like, it does make you push to see like, okay, what's extra interesting to these people. But at the same time, it's like sometimes it's too easy, and then you go to a straight room, and it's like, well, they don't understand anything I'm saying.
They are completely lost.
Sometimes I'll do a set, and it'll be like by the end of 10 minutes, these people have just heard of what a trans man is for the first time in their life. They've never actually been confronted that was a possibility. They only know of trans women. Like, sometimes it's like clearly they're like, oh, this goes the other way, too. Like, they've
That's
no
so funny.
Idea. And they've just learned so much in the span of 10 minutes that I think they really, like, didn't even have time to laugh because they were just like, I'm just learning.
Well, this, and it also is for any scene. Like, it was like that for alt, where it was like, if you're only performing for the alt people, then you're brought to a more mainstream audience, and people are truly like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
My first JFL audition, the way that I bombed harder than anyone has ever bombed, because it was just like the complete silence. Like, because I'd been performing in like basements in Bushwick, and like, yes, that community loved me, but it was not something that could translate.
Yeah.
And it happens. Yeah, it happens for everything. But
yeah, and I think it is important to like know how to like do a little bit of both. But I also think sometimes I get too hard on myself about being like, this should always be able to play in like any room. And it's like, that's just not always going to be the reality. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And like, it is also important to be like, it actually is good to want to just play. Like, sometimes I get in my head about being like, oh, like, do I talk too much about my identity on stage? Like, is it too much anecdotal stuff? Is it too much like whatever, and that won't be like broadly appealing or whatever, and blah blah blah. And it's like, but at what point is like, who cares? Like, if queer people want to come see me, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? So, but I it is hard to find that balance sometimes.
It's hard to find that balance.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. I don't know what the answer is also. There's no like, yeah.
Because I like, to your point though, there hasn't been enough. I mean, of course, I don't mean to erase any other like queer comedians who have also made it in.
Yes.
Even people made it happen in even harder times.
Of course.
No doubt. And so like, I don't mean to erase any of that, but like we don't have like a broad queer scene to like be like, how did these people do it and how did it evolve? And like, we're like in the infancy of it in many ways, I think. Still.
Yeah, totally.
So it's up to us. It's up to us to create the path. Should we do our last question?
What's a boys club you want to see in the world?
Oh, okay. Okay. I promise you this is not informed by horny, but tasteful nudity.
Love.
Wow.
I want tasteful nudity to be back in a big way.
Yes.
And this goes with your locker room fears.
Yes.
That's where my head went. That's my hole.
I'm like, I'm ready for people to be naked and it be normal. I'm like sick of nudity is only sexual and is bad.
I agree. Because it's like, how is it the year 2023 and we're still so weird about bodies?
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because it's also like anytime, like, I don't know if you've been to like any like Korean spas or whatever, but it's, you like get comfortable so fast and it's like, you're like, right, I don't need to be freaking out. Like, it's weird at first because you're like, okay, I'm fucking naked.
Do you think about the underwear party? Have you been to the underwear party?
Like on Fire Island?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that what you're describing?
There's elements of that that I'm describing. Like, I'm more describing like a locker room should feel normal to feel like you're changing and not be like, don't look at me.
Yeah. Yeah. Not covering yourself and being like, don't look at me.
I think part of my internalized and now externalized shame is that I don't want straight guys in the locker room to think that I'm checking them out, because that's not why I don't want my whole head to be taken from it. But anyway, but because I think that was very drilled in. As I feel like before it was kind of like, as long as you're not hitting on me, dude, as long as you're not, that's okay if they're gay, as long as they're not on me. I'm from Philadelphia. And like, I just.
I was not sure.
I feel like that was like such a thing before. And like, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, definitely. I mean, I remember being in middle school and somebody like accusing me of being a lesbian, and that being like, shut it down, like never look at any, and then that was like
Salem Witch Trials,
literally. Like it felt, and I was like, okay, well, I'm never looking up in the locker room again. And then it took me all the way until being in college, and like when I played on my soccer team in college, like everybody was so like laissez-faire about it, like whatever, like, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, like everybody's just like naked and it's fine.
Yeah,
and we can have a full conversation, and that's actually totally normal because there's nothing sexual about this.
Right.
These are just bodies, and we're really comfortable with each other. But it took a long time. But so I totally relate to that. That absolutely was a narrative in like the 2000s. I feel like,
yeah,
probably still.
There was this Comedy Central show back then that was like, straight guys teach gay guys how to be straighter.
Oh,
and like Rob Riggle was like one of the hosts. There were like a few comedians. And like there was a scene I remember where they were like in a locker room, and like it wasn't a shock collar, but in my dramatic retelling, it was a shock collar.
These are the things we change when we tell our stories.
Exactly. It was, and they were like scolding him like whenever he looked down. And that's what we grew up with.
Yeah. Like, I mean, definitely like we were, that was being pushed. No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never gotten an apology from the community on that.
And this is a call to the straights to apologize to Connor.
I do also want to say about the underwear party on Fire Island, there is a moment going with friends, like the sort of the squad that I mentioned earlier, is like we would all go to Fire Island and we'd go to the underwear party, and because we're actually not cool, we get there early and are like the first people there. And it was so fun to be like, we're in our underwear, we're friends, we're not going to hook up, like, let's dance around and be in our underwear. And I was like, I love this.
Do you want to do that?
Take me next time. I think maybe that was part of your problem, is you went with someone who wasn't making you feel, like, safe to do
that. The love of my life.
Well, Jury's out on that.
There's some backstory here. I didn't get this in the brief.
You went with your ex-boyfriend.
I went with my ex-boyfriend. He gave me this underwear. It said pump on it. That's not was not my underwear. I should have worn my underwear that said something, I don't know, like Alfani. And I feel
Haynes
like I
even.
Yeah. I feel like it was, I got in there. I was like, I don't like this. I'm also sober. It feels like maybe an important detail.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just like, this is kind of the same. These are the same eyes I have at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. I'm not like super vibing with this. And then I was kind of like, I actually have to go. And then I like did. And then we left. And that was the end of the underwear party. But I do think that if I was there with like someone else,
Bring me. Bring me. I'll go. But I think that is something that like queer spaces have the opportunity to do and then don't always come through on that promise is the promise of like liberation from that kind of, you know, feeling policed in your sexuality and your body and like being like, this is a place to be free. But then sometimes I think those things can go to, and then it's like, actually that's where you're judged the most is the gay men's underwear party and Fire Island. I haven't been, but
it can be either way. I mean, I guess it depends on like, there's like a want, like I feel like the people that feel judged the most are the ones that are also trying to hook up the most, where it's like,
yeah,
well, if you like are just having fun with your friends, no one's going to be like, problem area, like it's just like they're just gonna ignore you, and if you're happy being ignored then that's fine. It's more like when you're like, validate me, that it's like, well, they're not necessarily gonna do that. I feel
no, we go, we're gonna be like, we're writers, okay? we're writers, babe.
You're here for my mind.
Yes.
Yeah. I think in lockstep with this, I mean, I know you said not sexual, but I think there's like such a sexless energy to so much of what's happening right now.
Well, that too. I mean, I do think sorry if I'm cutting you off, but I feel like there can be a sexual element, like especially in a queer space. Mm-hmm. Like it just, I like the separation a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, go in that room when you want to hook up, which queer spaces literally have dark rooms, which I think is a good move.
Yeah.
There's like a consent there.
But there feels like there's been this like, I don't know, something about what's just the world we're in right now feels so puritanical and so devoid of any bringing like body and sex and that kind of, and nudity back into like art and just like the, and being more free. I don't know. I feel like we've gotten away from feeling, I don't know. It feels like so over-policed right now and in a way that we're more sex positive and we're more, but almost in, I don't know.
It's a little clinical.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It feels clinical. Even like I was hearing somebody talking about Field the other day, the app Field, and how like it can be a great app, I think, if you're looking to hook up and like you're looking for specific sex stuff. But if you're like looking to date and then also like, but somebody that's in the kink community, it's like the only thing you learn about somebody is like what they love in bed. And you're like, but what else about you? Like, I don't know anything else about how you are outside of those, the four walls of a bedroom or wherever. But like, anyway. That to speak to that, the app of, you know, making everything in an app and making everything in this like weird like tech world that we're in now, it does feel like so clinical, and like I feel like we can, with nudity, we can bring it back, we can make it human again.
Let's make it human again, and not to be Robin Thicke, but I do think there are like, you know, part of the fun of like finding a kink is not knowing you're into it or something, and being like, well, this person's into it, so there's like a blurred like, maybe I'll be into it, and like, let's feel it out.
Yeah.
Did you see Tate McRae on SNL?
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay, so she was a musical guest maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh, totally missed that. With
and
who?
I don't know. I watched her.
Okay,
not to.
It was Jason Momoa.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I skipped that one. No. No. I'm sure it was great.
No shade.
No shade. No shade.
She's 20 years old. She was 16 when the corona started. Because when the corona started, I was like, I'm obsessed with the song about a breakup by who is it? Oh, it's a child. Okay. Great. That's relatable.
I know. When you're listening, that's how I feel sometimes when I listen to Olivia Rodrigo. But I'm like, she's speaking to me. She's speaking to me.
It only gets worse. Like at some point, you're like, I'm 34 and I'm listening to this. And it's like, what am I gonna do? Not like,
got my driver's license.
Yeah.
So her performances they're so hot. Like it caught me off guard. Cause I think that's not how we got. Not, I don't know if this is too much of a diversion, not to front porch, but like, I think about Britney Spears versus Taylor Swift. There was a time where Britney Spears was the number one pop star.
Yeah.
Right now it's Taylor Swift. So like, or beyond whatever, but like kind of those two, but Taylor Swift really compared to Britney Spears. Like Britney Spears has a snake on and she's like naked on stage. And like, that's the world. Janet Jackson's taking her top off of the Super, whatever, by accident, but like at the Super Bowl. And now it's like Taylor Swift, who's kind of just like driving a truck in like a hat and a scarf. And it's like, It's yeah. a very different world.
It's not as sexy.
Yeah, way less sexy.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of that is like an overcorrection on the Britney Spears era, where we're like, oh, well, fuck, we actually fucked her up not accidentally, I'm sure. But, but you know, for those of us who didn't have any stake in that.
We were just
witness to it.
Yes, yeah. But I wonder if it's like an overcorrection. And maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. It's like there is like a weird, it feels we're like more scrutinized in that way than we ever have been. So I'm with you. I think we need to bring it back.
Let's bring it back.
Get some nudity in here. Get comfortable.
Get comfortable.
Get comfy.
It's, make it the 70s again.
Yeah. Let's have some weed. Let's kick it back.
Why
let's
not?
Be in the nude. Let's be outside.
Who cares?
Have you ever been to a nude beach?
Yes. I've been to Gunnison in New Jersey.
Oh, I didn't know there was one in New Jersey.
Oh, it's right there. I mean, it's like a 2-hour commute, but it's you can do it.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's fun.
Yeah.
So this is maybe it's a boys club that I'm entering into where I'm kind of obsessed with it. And I'm like once I've been to one, I was like, okay, well now I need to like, there's a nude gay swimming hole in Vermont that I went to and it was great. And now I'm just like, okay, where are the nude places?
That's awesome.
It's fun.
Have you ever, what's that movie? There's a movie, I think Jennifer Aniston's in it, and they go to like a, I can't remember what it was, but they go to like a nudist resort. Would you ever go to like a nudist resort?
I'd be curious about it, to be honest.
Our friend Jessie's been to one.
Really?
We'll connect you. She went to one. She has a great joke where she talks about how she sang Dolly Parton's Jolene at this nudist resort, and she's like, there's something about being naked that lets you know that song does not sit in your register. It's my favorite joke of hers. Shout out Jessie Ballard.
I love that.
But she said she went with, under interesting circumstances, like with people that she, anyway, she could tell you the whole story, but I think she thought it was a pretty freeing experience.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I have been to like gay campgrounds where there's like clothing optional, but I'd be curious, even like those are confusing because there is always sex sort of, it's confusing, but I do, I like it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's nice to not be freaking out all the time.
It's nice to, I'm sure it's nice
you
to.
You told me that like you were telling me something new.
I feel like it would be nice to feel like, I wonder if it would make you feel like in touch with like your, like a form of ego death perhaps.
Sure,
is,
sure.
Like shedding that like feeling comfortable being like completely naked in front of people.
It also does make me appreciate the reason for clothes. Like sometimes, sometimes I'm like, why do I have to do this all the time? And it's like, oh, like going for a naked walk is actually like a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. There's something nice to be just to keeping it all together.
Yeah.
It does sound like a mushroom trip.
Yeah.
In terms of like, I don't know if ego death and mushroom trip are the same thing. But anytime I've ever done mushrooms, I'm sober from alcohol, not from mushrooms. I'm just like, oh, this is who I am at my core. Kind of like a soul cycle class where you're like, this is who I am underneath all of it.
No, I do.
Does soul cycle make you feel that way?
If the instructor is good at their job, yes. But I'm here to tell
maybe
you.
Maybe Sam's mom can make you feel this
I
way.
I bet she is good.
She's making people in Michigan feel this way.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. But some of them are. I went to one yesterday and I was like, literally like, oh, you should not be on payroll. And I know that's so offensive, but it was just so bad. Just so bad. I don't like when people are.
Was it too intense? Was it not intense enough?
She just like wouldn't stop talking. And I was like, let the music do the job. I also don't like it when, I don't know, I feel she was, you can tell when the instructor is nervous that the people aren't going to respect them. You just got to run your fucking room and just like trust that you will. But if you're kind of like, you could tell there's something inside of her that was worried that she wasn't going to like run her fucking room.
I guess at the end of the day, not everybody's a leader, as Sam called us earlier.
That's
leaders.
True.
Yeah.
Leaders.
Business leaders.
Business leaders leading the space. Are these SoCycle socks you have on?
Yeah.
Wow. Brand loyal.
Brand loyal. Well, Sam, thank you so much for being on the pod. Thanks for having me. Before we go, do you want to plug your socials or anything coming up?
Sure. Follow me on Instagram at Sam T. Tagger. No, actually, that one's just Sam Tagger. Whoops. That's pretty much it. I'm just for the record, I know there were gay people before me.
But not really.
And I don't want it to sound like, it was just, there wasn't a queer comedy community in any sense back then.
Yeah.
They were here. They were bad at forming community is what you're saying.
I think they were maybe
more lone wolf than they
more lone wolf.
Yeah.
And even more like I do think the queer comedians that were there were a little bit like, well, I'm the only one. Like there wasn't like, we should unionize.
Yeah,
the girlies
yeah.
hadn't unionized.
Yeah. But we're here to unionize now.
Yeah.
We're coming. Awesome. And check out Sam's podcast Radio Lab if you haven't. It's an awesome podcast. Very funny. Awesome. All right, we'll get out of here and smooch on three. One, two, three. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month. And it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people. And we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast. So come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.